Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life.
On this episode, we update you on our Strava group. We share our runners' highs and runners' lows and discuss why running is stupid. Well, really. Well, not really. Yeah, but really. Hi, I'm Harry.
And I'm Lissy. Welcome to another episode. So this week in exciting Strava news, we set up our own club on Strava.
I didn't even know you could do this.
This was a suggestion from Sam that we set up our own club. So we've done it and we're 11 members strong at the moment. So if you're on Strava, come join us.
What are our stats? I want some key Strava stats.
Key Strava stats. So yeah, there's 11 of us in here this week. Oh no, that's me. I've run 10.5 kilometres this week. Woohoo.
Nice.
It doesn't tell you our total. Oh, that's annoying. I wanted us to
reduce our group.
Yeah. Our key person, our leader every week so far, it's been 2 weeks, has been Steph, who's like kicking all of our asses as usual. So, you know, maybe we'll just like leave her at the top and then we'll have an actual leaderboard underneath her. But yeah, this went very well on Twitter with some bants started already on the leaderboard, which is good. So yeah, come and join us in our Strava group if you just search One for the Road podcast. Also, I noticed today that you can like set up events and club runs and stuff. So maybe that's something we'll have to investigate in the future.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying. There's loads of pictures on it. You can see everyone's taking photos of their runs and posting them.
Oh yeah, it's a really nice feature of Strava now that if you take a photo whilst on your run, it automatically shows it on the app, even if it wasn't one that you shared to social media. It knows that it was at the time of your run.
Yeah, you can see where it was on your route as well. Creepy. Careful not to take too many photos of your house.
Yeah, a bit weird.
Wow. Yeah, there's some good park run ones in here as well. Like today's like, we could have like a park run competition. Who's been to which park run?
Yeah, weekends are good for Strava activity, aren't they? So let's go straight into our runners' highs and runners' lows. Harry, highs and lows this fortnight.
Cool. Let's start with my high. I think my high's been today. This morning, I went to park run. I went to Southwark Park Run, which I haven't been to for a little while. And I caught up with our very good friend Lauren. We had a really nice, it's 3 laps of the park, which is fine. As discussed, we're not really fans of doing laps, but 3 is good.
Yeah, 3 is okay.
And we just got a chance to chat, really. We just chatted more than thing. We had quite a fun game with a man with a pram. He overtook us, then we overtook him, then he overtook us, then we overtook him. He was like our main goal for the whole race.
People with prams at parkrun scare me because they're always like amazing.
Yeah, he was very speedy and it was like his pram was designed for running though. It was a proper one.
Yeah.
It wasn't like full on buggy. there's a woman who I've seen at another park run I've been to, and it's like a, you know, like a normal pram, four wheels, quite wide berth. Like, I always think that's just complicated. Like, how does it take corners? You know, today's one looked more like a wheelbarrow.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
The baby seemed fine too. Yeah. I always sort of think, what's it like for the child?
Because I pushed my nephew in his pushchair a few weeks ago and tried to do a little bit of a jog with it. And I was like, oh, this is difficult. Good upper body workout as well.
I see. Yeah, often they only run with it in one hand. Mm. Do you think that's a technique thing? Because if you ran with both hands, do you...
Yeah, because you need your like arm in the way to move it as
Yeah, for a bit of momentum. I don't know if I'm ever going to be that kind of mum. Or that ever kind of like, if I have a child to push.
To go running with them. Okay, what about your low?
Oh yeah, my low. I think, I've had a bit of a crazy old week, and went to Barcelona for like literally 24 hours, maybe like 28 hours.
Okay.
It was fast, but I got there and it was for a conference. There's all the conferencey things happening. I managed to squeeze in this like half an hour run. So it's a bit of like a half high running in Barcelona and in shorts, although everybody else... literally, like, obviously January in Barcelona, so lots of people wearing their winter coats with scarves, and I'm like prancing along the road in my tiniest running shorts, because I was like
this is warm. It's so warm.
It was such a nice feeling. It really was, like, vitamin D. Oh, amazing.
Nice.
That was great. But the low of it, actually, so it's not really a true low, it was just that I wanted it to be longer. I was just really sad that I only managed to do, I don't think I even managed half an hour. It was, I kind of, because I needed to be back to go networking and whatnot, didn't really have enough time. So it's you know, a kind of fake low.
Yeah.
I've got two highs this week.
Good.
What about you?
So I've got two highs. One's not running, but it's fitness related. So a couple of weeks ago, it was Nike Women's Week, and I was lucky enough to get a space at the yoga with Fat Buddha Yoga, which was in the Shard.
Oh, that was the best one. I wanted to get into that.
It was so good. So I got into the 7 o'clock in the morning session and it was in the Shangri-La Hotel, and we were in a room that overlooked the kind of St. Paul's side. And yeah, so it started when it was dark, and over the course of the 45 minute class it got light, and it was, oh, it was just so good.
Was it full glass? So it was a bit of the Shard. You know, like, it was like a...
We were on a corner.
Full bit of the Shard. What a special experience. Like, that's so unusual.
It was so good. And her classes are really good as well. Mm. And she took a time lapse of the whole class, which I'll put the link to it on the website and on our Twitter, because it's so good. And you can see me in the corner. It's like, yay, I'm Instagram
famous. And you look good too. You look totally like being a proper yogi.
It was so lovely. So I think they do more, not her particularly, but I think there is yoga classes that run in the Shard.
Oh, really? Oh, right. Oh, would it be? Yes, I've heard that, actually. They're called, like, Yoga in the Sky or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Because they have them in the Sky Garden as well. Yeah. Because I looked at, also, they do...
Yoga.
Yeah, they do them at the Tower Bridge on the glass floor, but they were really expensive. I think they were, like, 30 plus quid a class. So yeah, treat yoga, but that was awesome. And my other high running wise was last weekend's long run. I joined my friend Michelle and some of her other friends for a football run. So for her marathon training, she's running to every football ground in London. I'm not sure if that's a secret or not. If it is, sorry. And last week we went to Craven Cottage, the home of Fulham Football Club, which was a awesome little run. Well, not that little, actually.
Mm. Yeah, you're crossing up some good miles.
King's Cross to Fulham along the river, and we went some bits of Battersea that I'd never been to before. Mm-hmm. So that was nice, although it was raining most of the way.
Oh, yeah.
But really good to get, like, what was it, 17 kilometres? Or,
you know, I can't.
10 and a half miles for the good. Imperial
that's
people.
That's so many.
Yeah, that's good.
You're tucking away the miles right now.
Yeah, it's good. I love not marathon training.
It's interesting, isn't it? Without that pressure, you're probably doing more of the running than you were when you were marathon
probably.
Training.
Probably. But it's also really nice to know that like 10, 11 miles or 15, 17K is like more than enough.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you'd like that's your kind of absolute base, and then you start ticking over that. So it's nice to not have to go over a half marathon distance.
Yeah, I do agree. I really like... I like to feel, I really want to, at the moment, I'm very happy when I can keep that kind of 10 miles as my amount. I really like that. I feel it's a very nice number and a nice amount of time to be out running.
So talking of marathons.
Yes.
I feel like I caught you out last episode about talking about Helsinki.
You did a bit.
Thoughts?
I haven't booked it. I haven't booked a marathon. So my whole view on, oh, I'm never going to do a marathon again, which I don't think I ever strongly said.
No, I don't think you did either.
And I didn't probably feel like that either.
You're definitely not in my camp of, oh my God, marathon.
No, I'm not there yet. Although, you know, probably give me one more. That'll be enough. I'm definitely of the belief I'm not going to do them for the sake of it. I'm definitely of the belief that I'm only
anyone that does marathons for the sake of it is weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, I say that as though, like, that's a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
But people do, like, I think more what I mean, I suppose, than, like, yeah, personally, is that in my roster of standard running, to me, having, like, 2 or 3 half marathons, or even, you know, 4 half marathons in a year, it is a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's like the furthest I would go, or the most races I would do, or the longest distances I would do. I don't feel like I want to make that roster about marathon distances.
Yes.
Or ultra distances.
Yeah.
You know, I'm quite happy that that's half marathons.
Yeah, and that a marathon is like a really big thing.
Yeah, and I keep that as like a big thing. Because I think for me, the most thing was that, like, I really enjoyed it. And I, you know, the broad scope of it. And I liked the training. It wasn't like the training killed me. But I also am enjoying remembering, like, that I'm, you know, that I'm not doing it. So I'm trying to build that moment so that I do it when I really want to and it's been the right amount of time. I am quite keen on trying to get my time down a little bit. Because I quite like to be able to just say, I can do a four hour marathon. So I was thinking about the September, because I was sort of, we're talking about doing a Scandinavia holiday, summer holiday. So I kind of half thought, oh, I could work in that could be the start of the trip.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing very much running tourism this year. But I then thought, actually, I would rather have maybe a bigger goal next year.
Yeah.
And save it. Because that's, to me, I would quite happily do a half in September and, you know, still get to do running tourism. So, yeah. So maybe next year, watch this space. Probably going to go in the Tokyo ballot.
Ooh, interesting. That is good. Okay, well, I think that kind of ties in nicely with saying that running is stupid.
Today on the podcast, we share with you our thoughts that running is stupid. 1 year in, something's hit home for us.
Yeah.
Tell me, Lizzie, why do you think running is stupid?
Well, it is stupid. There's lots of reasons why. So this has come about from a really funny BuzzFeed article that came out this week. Which probably isn't going to work very well in a podcast format, given it's all visual, but we're going to go for it anyway. 15 charts that will only mean something to people who love running, and they're just stupid things that people think whilst running or going for a run or that kind of thing. Like the one that says, reasons you love to run, and it's like a quarter, these are all pie charts, a quarter alone time, a quarter stress management, half bagels.
It's true.
It's true.
You can never eat bagels when you don't run.
This is true, because apparently bagels
are
like...
Are they really bad for you?
They're like the equivalent of like 8 slices of bread.
Why?
Because they're like really dense.
Oh.
Which
I love bagels.
Kind of ruined the joy of bagels for me. So I was like, yeah, they're the same as toast, right?
I thought they were just the same as toast.
No. I don't think they are.
Whoa. Well, there's a revelation, that's upsetting. Well, I'll just have to keep running.
Yeah.
So I can eat bagels.
Thoughts you have whilst running... Is this sports bra working? Do I have to pee? How long have I been out here? How much longer till I'm home? Carbs.
There's definitely a lot of meal planning that goes on when I'm running. I'm like, what am I going to eat when I get home? What order shall I do things in? And it will be like, shall I shower and I could stretch while I was in the shower?
Yeah, like logistics planning. But yeah. This one's all wrong because carbs is like the biggest proportion of it. But for me, it should definitely be, do I have to pee?
Yeah, you always do, don't we? I like, that's one of the main things I remember about you from when I first met you, was like knowing where every toilet is in London.
I am still yet to do this, and I keep saying this all the time, that I need to do like a comprehensive post of where all the best public toilets are in London for when you go running. But that is a massive concern. But again, why running is stupid, because no other point in my life do I feel like a 5-year-old where I'm like, I need the toilet, I need the toilet, I need the toilet all the time.
I'm like, what other sport is like that? You don't need it. There's not even
no,
sports where you're so concerned about your whole bowel system.
Yeah, no other sport. You will run like 10 miles away from your house.
To a place where there isn't anything.
No, exactly. Your laundry.
Like
90% running clothes, tiny sliver, everyday clothes.
I mean, also true of any sporting activity. Just thinking about in our household, between the cycling kit and the running kit, We're just washing Lycra all of the time.
I had a really horrible moment the other night when I went to go for a run and I was meeting people at a specified time and I thought I'd got my washing out of the washing machine and I hadn't, and all of my kit was in there, so I basically had to just wear like normal clothes to go running in. Turned up in like actual cotton t-shirt and a like grey marl hoodie. I was like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, I am hot and sweaty.
Yes, great. What else good in here?
Things like when you forget stuff. Like too often, when I told you about the time, I don't know if I've told you about this. It's fairly embarrassing. I don't know if I should share it. Like I forgot my sports bra, but yet decided that it would still be fine to run. So I, but the straps on your backpack are surprisingly supportive.
What, like if you like buckle
you can,
them up?
You can buckle yourself in quite snug. It was the worst. I ran like 5k and was like, this was such a...
You're just like going to strap yourself down with your strap across your chest.
I did it, you know, because there's two straps.
Yeah.
So I made the other lower hip strap come up quite high. But then I thought, if people... Like, who knows what that looked like? My God. Oh. You know those women funny. Who you always see and you're like...
You need a better bra.
You need a better bra. I was that
You're
woman.
Just like, you need...
You need a bra. I was wearing a bra, just
not a sports one.
Really not an appropriate one.
I think this is my favourite one, where it's a pie chart where it says how much you want to go for a run right now, and it's literally half and half. So much, literally not at all.
Oh yeah, that's what happened this morning. Lauren and I had to text bully ourselves into doing the park run, because we both were like, oh, I just don't really... It's going to rain. I don't really feel like it.
Yeah, what else in life do you really, really not want to do, but also what... Also, these people that actually want to go for a run, like, 95% of the time.
Yeah, I know. I would say, yeah, there's some times when you're, like, so ready for it.
The times that I'm so ready for it are usually the times that I don't have my kit with me, or it's, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm sat in a meeting at work, and I'm like, oh, I could really go for a run right now.
Yeah, just need to get outside. I love this is, like, they've made how many of these? 15?
No.
We could add so many more. What were we just saying? Oh, fuel. Like noon. Ugh.
Yeah, the things that you eat and drink because you feel you ought to, or you've been told are good for running. Ugh. So we were just having a noon discussion. So I drink quite a lot of noon. Some of the flavours are all right, but sometimes if you got the ratio a bit wrong, they taste like soluble paracetamol with a bit like powdery texture.
They're like rehydration.
Yeah, they're like electrolyte tablets.
Other brands are available.
Yeah, I can't give you an example, but,
no, but there are.
But they are. Mm. I got given a tube of watermelon ones the other day and they just tasted disgusting.
Watermelon doesn't really sound like one though.
You know when you get things and they just smell really synthetic, a bit like bleach.
Mm. Anything like that where they're like, oh, you know, like the bars. The shot blocks are a good example of that. There's Cliff do those, like they're like kind of jelly texture. And I had, when I first started running, that was what I used when I was fueling. And they had like strawberry ones and blueberry ones, and also they do it only in the US, I think, mojito flavor, which is, I suppose, just like lime and salt, but just ooh.
You don't need the taste of a mojito whilst you're running.
No, and that's even where I find when they're like caramel and stuff, I'm kind of like, this is, I don't want this
chocolate.
Right now.
No.
Yeah, nothing chocolatey. Ooh. But then again, also artificial banana is like the worst thing ever. Oh.
Any artificial fruit. So I was having a conversation about gels the other day, so like energy gels that you use on long runs, and I don't use them anymore because they're gross and so synthetic and so sugary and always make me feel sick. Yeah, at no other point in my life would I put that in my body. Oh, so gross. And yeah, they always have like yogurt and banana or yogurt and strawberry. Ugh.
Yeah, I find the whole fueling thing quite difficult on that note about running is stupid. Because it is a bit like, I don't want to do what I would do outside of my, like what I would not normally eat. But then I'm aware that I need to eat enough to give me enough fuel to keep going. And I want to maximise my performance or whatever. But yeah, I've never got along with gels. They make me very sick.
Yeah.
So I did for the marathon, I had like a cliff bar and a Trek bar. So like those bars, they're just like smushed up stuff, and they're fairly, I mean, they've still got some crazy things in them.
Yeah,
I'm still like, wouldn't, you know, I want to go one step further, but I was pleased as to have something a bit more solid than to have the
naked bars are gels. Quite good, but you actually do have to,
you probably have to eat a lot of naked bar, would you?
Yeah, also you have to, they're so not
dense,
yeah, and they're quite dry that you actually do have to kind of like stop. Yeah. eat them, take a drink, eat them.
I actually tried, I think, a naked bar when I was running once and basically nearly choked. I had a bit of like a whole like choking debacle while trying
I had one, or I had a bit of one last weekend, and everyone had finished their mouth and started running, and I still had some, so I was kind of like, my mouth was stuck together whilst trying to breathe and run. It's just not good. Mm. What else to do with fueling? Oh yeah, so just around as well, like getting up early enough to have a big enough breakfast.
Oh, I totally failed at that this morning. Yesterday morning. I was planning my long run. I set my alarm for an hour before. Missed the alarm, just slept straight through. Woke up at the time I was intending to go for the run.
Right.
So in the end, didn't do any proper, like, didn't fuel as I would have eaten a bowl of porridge. We were discussing this earlier and saying how actually, like, I just feel low in energy. Like, I didn't run as good as I normally would because I just felt really hungry, really tired. So, yeah, running is stupid because you have to think about all of these extra things.
Yeah, and running is stupid because some people go up and do a half marathon without any breakfast. You know who you are.
I like that you look at me as though that was me. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not me.
But I would imagine there's actually quite a lot of people listening that do that. Don't do that. That's really silly.
What? It's that thing of like, yes, I know it's all like what works for you, blah, blah, blah. But also, like, I didn't feel good yesterday. I ran 8 miles without eating any breakfast. And I know I can run a lot faster than I did yesterday.
I have lots of examples where I feel crap from not eating enough running. And also, I've just realised that I didn't do my runners low.
Oh.
Which is very related to this. So I'll do it now anyway. So it was that I went and gave blood on Tuesday.
Oh yeah. I saw your half cropped picture.
Well, on this day on Facebook today, my photo from last year was a needle in my arm, but I didn't crop that one. So
it's back.
Yeah. Started cropping out the needle in my arm. Anyway, I thought I'd be able to run on Tuesday night after giving blood in the morning. And for some reason, well, I know exactly the reason, because I didn't fuel beforehand. Mm. Went and gave, you know, an eighth of my blood away. Thought I'd be able to run, actually couldn't really do a lot for all of the day.
Yeah, knocked you out.
It affected me way more than it usually does. In fact, I got in the lift at work and got out of the lift like 6 floors higher up and kind of fell out of the lift because I got so lightheaded. Like, walked around the corner and my team were like, "You've gone really grey." I was like, "Ooh."
And that, do you think it was just because, the food, it wasn't... Did you eat... Can you eat beforehand?
You're supposed to eat, like, a really good breakfast and drink loads of water. So I drank loads of water, but my breakfast was, like, a banana.
Not enough.
So not great. And, yeah, I was like, I've done this loads of times. I'll be able to go for a run in the evening.
No.
No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't at all. Couldn't even, like, even getting up and downstairs kind of wore me out.
Oh, really knocks you out.
Just went for a massive dinner instead.
That sounds
and, like, refueled afterwards, which is the wrong way around to do it. Preventative rather than kind of... Yeah. Afterwards. So everyone's got reasons they think running is stupid,
and yet we do it anyway.
Yeah, so let us know what your reasons that running is stupid are on Twitter. Get in touch, tell us what they are. So for the London series this week, we're going to tackle one that we've been putting off for a while because it's just a bit epic, and that is breakfast. So I don't feel like this is the final word in breakfast. I think this could change over time, but right now,
yeah,
these are our favorite breakfasts.
And I sort of think we could... This could be defined as breakfast. We could also look at brunch as a separate topic.
Oh, brunch is separate. That is a good point because this is very specifically breakfast. Mm. Okay, can you hear how excited we are about breakfast?
It is my favourite meal of the day.
Oh my God.
Okay, it's my favourite meal to go out for.
I love going for breakfast. It's great use of pre-work time.
So smug as well. Oh. I love going to work and being like, I've just met my friend for breakfast.
Yeah, I'm so cosmopolitan.
So London.
Oh my God, we're such dickheads. Anyway. Right.
Go on then.
So my favourite breakfast at the moment, I'm going to caveat it with at the moment, is Dishoom. I went yesterday with my team. So there's 6 of us. Some had been for breakfast, some hadn't. And oh my God, it's just so good.
Which one? So that it's a chain, but not a very big chain.
Four restaurants. I've been to the Shoreditch one, and yesterday we went to King's Cross, and I usually have the bacon and egg naan. Yesterday I had sausage and egg naan with masala beans on the side, and I had their chai for the first time, which was amazing, as everyone said it was. And it's bottomless, and oh my God, it's just so good. It's spicy, but not too spicy. The naan bread's amazing, and it's just really good all round experience. Like the service is really quick and really nice, and it's just cozy but casual.
It's one of my favourite restaurants in London in general, and I think from people who've travelled, they always say that it's quite authentic Indian cuisine as well, which feels nice. Just the breakfast is pretty epic. It's a good take, I think.
I tried to go for dinner last night, which was a bit extreme given that I went for breakfast as well. The queue was insane. So
it's a very popular
I need
place.
To find five friends to go for dinner with, because then you can make a reservation.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I'm there. Sure, we can find others. My favorite is a place we went the other week. Mm-hmm. We a great kind of quick before work, but plenty of seating. It's called Fleet Street Press. It's on Fleet Street. Conveniently, we've discovered it's a really good equal distance between our workplaces, yep, which is useful. But they had brilliant porridge, which was like £2.50, which sounds incredible. I hear the incredulousness in my voice. Porridge can be very expensive these days. I paid £4 for porridge the other day and nearly cried.
I went somewhere the other day where they had porridge on the menu. It was £7.95. Can you imagine?
Did it come with the rest of the box? Because a bag of oats.
I know. Like, it came with a couple of toppings, but £8 for porridge. Oh, my days. It did good coffee.
And again, the price of coffee now in London, £2.80 for a flat white is not acceptable. £3 nearly. Whereas there, £2.40.
I paid £3.20 for a flat white the other day. And a little bit of me died inside.
The price of things in London is annoying in itself. But I feel like those things that to me are quite like buying like coffee, bread and milk are the things that I really notice when the price goes up. Just lovely casual atmosphere, really friendly staff and good priced food.
Yeah, because I think breakfast shouldn't be a massive hassle, like especially on a weekday.
No.
Oh my God, such dickheads. Like, oh, I go out for breakfast on a weekday. Anyway.
We get up early to do it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Breakfast strongly recommended.
So get in touch with us on the internet. We are on Twitter and Instagram at oftrpodcast. Our website is oftrpodcast.wordpress.com, and you can email us on oftrpodcast@gmail.com. and we're still on the hunt for people to join in our birthday podcast, so if you feel like you want to record something for us, get in touch and we'll tell you what we're after.
I love how cryptic you are.
Yeah, I know.
I think we're excited about it.
Yes.
We want to share our love of running and that running is not stupid with the
yes,
world.
Yes, exactly. It will be kind of like the opposite of this episode where we celebrate running for all its goodness rather than say how stupid it is. Also, we're planning some kind of IRL birthday event. So
I like how I always say ILR and that's not the right way around, is it?
IRL equals in real life.
Yeah, you can run with us in real life.
Yeah, we're gonna do a birthday run.
Can we have cake at the end?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So if you're in London on the 6th of March. Yeah, it's Sunday the 6th of March. So keep that in your diary if you fancy coming for an IRL run with us.
Yay. There'll be cake. We also, as we talked about last episode, have started our newsletter.
Yay!
Our first one went out at the weekend.
Woo!
We are going to make it hopefully more regular. But it'll be in the alternating weeks to this podcast. So you can get a little dose of Lizzie and Harry every week if you'd like.
Yay, but in written form, not our voices. So
get a break.
Weekly one for the road dose. So if you want to sign up for that, go to our website and there's a sign up form there.
That's it for now. We've got a busy couple of weeks coming up.
We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.